And good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is October 12th, 2024. We welcome you folks out there, and we thank you for being here. I'll bring the men on the line. Good morning, men.
Good morning.
And thanks for being here, Tim.
Yep, good morning.
And we'll go ahead and, Tim, why don't you go ahead and open us up with a word of prayer.
All right. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, the one that you have created, and we are glad, and we rejoice in it. Another opportunity to serve our God and to bring forth fruit worthy of who we serve. Lord, we just pray that you would extend your power and your might and your protection to your people and to us, Lord, and that you would bless us in our endeavors that are pleasing and honoring to you. We ask, O God, that you'd watch over your people in time of need and stress. Lord, we know there's a whole mess over there on the East Coast, and there's some things going on the West Coast, and there's some things going on in the middle. But, Lord, we fear not. We know that our God is with us, and that with him, he's a force of unstoppable power. We just pray we ask for your blessings. We bind your enemies, Lord, and ask that you would make them your footstool, and, Lord, that our eyes might behold our salvation, and that we might see those things as we go forward. We ask these things. We just ask that you'd bless this broadcast this morning, Lord, that it would go out as a ray of hope, a beacon of God's sunshine, that there might be things that are encouraging and things that stir up your people. And we thank you for it. In Christ's only and precious name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate that. Well, Tim, I'm going to go ahead and I got an electrician that's here that I got to take care of for a few minutes. Hopefully I'll be back shortly, but I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Okay. Well, good morning. And I guess the first thing I thought was kind of interesting. I was just doing some reading. We talk a lot about farming and food because, you know, we came out of the garden as God's people. And I think that it's interesting that lately, we've been seeing that they're always messing about with that, with our food products. And I just got a recall across my desk from the USDA. They're recalling 10 million pounds of ready-to-eat foods. 10 million pounds. That's a lot. They're basically saying that there's a possible, they have that in quotations, listeria contamination. So far, nobody's got sick. Supposedly, they discovered this business it started clear back in July or September, I believe it was June, actually, 19th, to October, into October 8th, 2024. Of course, it's just now coming, you know, to a store near you, but it's interesting that they said there have been no confirmed reports or adverse reactions due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an illness should contact a healthcare provider. But then they turned around and they recalled 4.1 million eggs in September. That's again with an M, 4.1 million. And we see all these recalls going on. And, of course, this is salmonella potential again. Of course, they supposedly had 65 illnesses and 24 hospitalizations. But we're seeing all this kind of stuff going on, and the FDA's come out with an implementation of a thing called the Unified Human Foods Program, which is kind of a major power grab at controlling the U.S. food supply. You know? There's just a lot of information in there. I haven't got to dig clear through it yet, but of course, like anything, you can pretty much bet that if the government's involved in it, it's not good. You know, it's like they're gonna take something simple and complicated. So it's not about keeping the food supply safe. It's about new food technologies and climate change plays into it. I've seen that mentioned several different times, and they just don't. You know, it's okay to eat crickets or lab-grown meat, but you just can't have something that you grew in your backyard. That'd be bad for you, or something that came from a cow or a chicken or or something that God created, because that'd be bad for you.
Tim, isn't it kind of crazy like that? I mean, you know, when you get your eggs local, I don't hear of many recalls for local eggs. Jason's daughter, Rachel, they have chickens, and we get eggs from them when they have extras. And, you know, there's never been a recall on those, and I eat those eggs, and they're just as good as they get. And, you know, like we've said for years, find someone local. Not everybody can raise chickens. Not everybody can raise beef or, whatever. But there's somebody local that is. And there's more than one somebody. You can, if you'll take the time, you can shop around. You can find somebody that, you know, is raising chickens and raising eggs the way that you would like them, and that are good and clean, and you can support them. And, that few dollars a dozen eggs that goes to a local person does so much more than when it goes to the big grocery store.
I know, you know, we have chickens, and of course the egg flow it's an ebb and flow kind of thing. I mean, sometimes sometimes we have way too many, and sometimes we don't have quite enough.
Right.
But it's funny because I have regulars who get eggs, and that's great. But I've always just kind of been like, and some folks can't always afford them or whatever, and it's like, that's fine.
Right.
I mean, it's like, I'm more than happy to give them away. But one of my guys here that gets them, he said, he does a float test on eggs, you know, whether they're from the store, wherever he gets them. If they float, he doesn't use them. And he said, it's funny. He said, about 50, 60% of the store float. He said, I think in all the years I've been getting it from you, I've had two. So,
yep.
I know there's sometimes I'm like, well, I've really got an overflow. These are a little older ones. Just take them, try them out. He said, they're fine. There's nothing wrong with them.
Right.
But when you consider, I consider an older egg maybe like 2 months old. When you consider a lot of the eggs that you find at the store, maybe 12 or 14 months or something like that. I mean, it's funny that how that works. So your level of freshness goes way up. And I have no desire to see anybody take anything that's less than wholesome or healthy. And like you said, it's just one of those.
Right.
And it helps everybody out, makes everybody feel good. You've got, and you know right where it came from. And, they want to track this food, food out of your garden, food out of your, and everything else they were talking about.
Sure.
It's such a thing as, when you look at that, it's like, well, I track my food. I know where most of it comes from, you know.
That's right. It's that hidden message that it's all about control, you know.
Yeah.
When you hear things, when we hear things called reducing gun violence, it's all about control. When you hear things like what you mentioned, Tim, about the, we need to have better tracking for cattle. And we need to be able to, make sure we know where the food comes from and who has gardens and these things. It's all about control. And if you don't believe
it, it's not today, it certainly will be tomorrow.
Exactly. Right. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's a continual, a gradual. It's that temperature turning up on the frog. It's in the pot, right? It's a little bit at a time. And, you can read the book we've got. We've sent a bunch of them out. It's a horrible book, but it's truthful. It's called Execution by Hunger. And it's when Stalin controlled the people, killed the Ukrainian farmer, millions of them. And they did it with the food. They controlled the food. The people, if they had enough food to eat, well, they took it away from them. And it was as simple as that, and the people starved. And this one boy that lived through it writes this story, Execution by Hunger. We've got it. And it's just truth. It's what the enemy does. The enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, it's what they do. But you know, Tim, I think it's exciting that the harder that the enemy tries, the more they do, I think the more people wake up. You know, these horrendous weather events, Hurricane Helene that devastated Western North Carolina, and even this latest Hurricane Milton that went across Florida that wasn't near as bad as it was 12 hours earlier. But people have seen, FEMA and the government and what, you know, they promise and what they say they're going to do, and they see that doesn't hold any weight, they didn't deliver on the promise. And but guess who did?
Well,
the neighbor.
Yeah. That's interesting. I follow one guy from I've got one guy there that is involved in North Carolina here, and he's been sending out a lot of stuff, and he had a friend on there, but had published some of his stuff, and I watched that. Just, I don't spend a lot of time watching those, but in this particular case, I'm actually looking at the background photos of the damages there. You know, 50-foot wall of waters in North Carolina. I mean, there's things going on, but he went over there. His neighbor went over there to North Carolina to help, and he said the first time we went over, we loaded up fuel, we loaded up some chainsaws, you know, anything we could think of to help with. And he said,
right,
we went cruising over there, and he said we filled up a lot of things, we did a lot of stuff. It was all just people kind of. And he said, so then we went back home to get some more stuff because he said we were out. And he said we came back about a week later, and he said we couldn't find really any place that we needed. He said, somebody said, well, go down and talk to the local fire department. So he said, we went down there and talked to them, and they said, you know, we've got so much stuff and so many people going here. And this is individuals, you know, not
yes. Yes.
any alphabet soup agency.
Yep.
He said,
right,
I think we're good. He goes, I mean, I appreciate you coming down, but he said, I really don't have any. He said, I mean, I can put you out with some other guys, but he said, I've got people standing around over there now because we don't have, you know, enough equipment or whatever to clear things. But he said, I think we're okay. And he just was like, he said, you know, it was just amazing to me to see the amount of people coming together, working together.
Exactly.
And what was going on. And that's just God's grace and that heart of Christian, you know, caring,
right,
that
right.
God puts in.
It absolutely
people.
Is. I mean, it's that law in their heart, you know, another mark of Israel, of who the people of the Bible are, you know, who the people of the covenant are. And it is, you're right. And it's not that they're done. It's not that everything's fixed there, but you're right. The outpouring that has come out all over, you know, whether it's Boone or Cherry Creek or Asheville or any of the little towns all around. You see that, and it's not just like, oh, the Cajun Navy went and helped over here in Boone. Oh, it's Samaritan's Purse helping in Boone and the Cajun Navy in 12 different places, and just neighbors that weren't wiped out that, you know, finally made it up the holler to, you know, the old lady's house that they knew was up there, and she was okay and brought her some food you know, I'm seeing stories time and time again that people, they finally get the people that have been cut off, but the people are okay. And they're like, well, you know, we're doing okay. Go help somebody that's worse off. And these are people that have no power, have no water, that, you know, have been without for a week. And but there's a resilience there. There really is. And
Well, and I'm watching just like the helicopters, the amount of them coming in there are amazing. And they're all private, these private helicopters.
All private.
They keep on.
Right.
And, you know, taking a helicopter is, I mean, that's not a cheap piece of equipment to maintain or to buy or to own.
Right.
And these guys are pulling them off the line of, they must be doing something affordable or profitable in order for them to be able to own them. But they,
something,
you know, they went from like, the one fellow was talking about the fact that they had like 5 and now they're up to like 15. They've got 15 private choppers flying 8.
Oh, yeah.
Can't get into.
I saw a video.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Airport that was that way.
Go ahead, finish, Tim.
Well, it's just amazing to me that we, you know, see these things going on all around us, and God continues to put it on the hearts of the people. And I think that the possibility of their they continue to try to strengthen this control over food. It's a feast or famine deal. God's way's feast, their way's famine, and that's where I was going. There's an idiom about that. You know, we use that in everyday life. Well, it's feast or famine. And in this particular instance, it's literally that way, as far as feast or famine goes. So, but anyhow, I just thought I thought that was interesting, and it becomes readily apparent in times of great trouble and problems. So, it's an exercise point for God's people. But anything new on your end?
I think that that's, you know, just, you know, pertinent. We're seeing a lot of this stuff, and it's, you look at the devastation. One of the things I've actually yesterday was able to talk to several people out there in North Carolina, and one of the things that common theme among talking to people is basically they said, you know, Asheville's getting all the publicity, and they're talking about that, but they said that you know, Asheville is an evil, wicked area, basically, and they were talking about, you know, it's, you know, it, they're predominantly Democrats there, they're Antichrist, and the outskirts areas of, you know, once you get beyond Asheville, that's where the, you know, blue-collar folks are living, and those are the people that they've got just as much devastation out there. They're just not getting the publicity, and it's you know, those are the people that are really hurting. You know, there's still people, you know, without water, without food, without supplies, not able to get anywhere. I mean, the roads washed out, you know, it sad deal. We were able to, you know, help some people out with some different things on you know, getting hooking people up with different other people and trying to get supplies in there. But it's like, I mean, some of those places, it's like, you know, trying to get supplies into it, unless you're packing in on a mule or something like that. good luck. It's not happening. It's interesting. And, you know, this whole thing with the, you know, the lithium deposits and the mines and stuff that are there. There's a lot of stuff that's coming out on that, and that is really interesting. I mean, I didn't realize how much money Blackwater had invested in that area within the last, and it was recent. It was like a lot of it was in the last 90 days, 90 days to 120 days of how much money they started pumping into that. So that is definitely interesting, and it makes you, it just makes you wonder, you know?
Yep. It's a cause and effect type thing. It's like, huh, that's, and there's, yeah, they were buying ground up and putting money in all over out there. And the other thing I did was I looked up, I guess that, and I haven't really, it's kind of more of a general overall feeling when you look it up, but there's quite a witchcraft problem in Asheville itself. I mean, so that's, I thought that was kind of an interesting thing. There's a lot of that kind of stuff goes on there. And that doesn't mean that there's not God's people there or anything like that.
But right. And we've said that from the beginning, but that's absolutely, that's one of the most wicked. And it's interesting, but I remember I've been hearing about that for years. Asheville, Boulder, Colorado, Austin, Texas, are some of the areas that these like witch high holy places where they have got a lot of covens, practice a lot of sorcery. A lot of that satanic stuff goes on in those areas, for some reason. I think I don't know, I've heard several explanations for it, but, it's, you know, that was a witch holy, place for a long time.
That's interesting. Interesting name too, Asheville, because the only thing left after you burn everything to the ground is ash. So I don't really. There's just things like that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that other fellow that I was talking to, he's like, there's just whole communities gone. He said, I don't mean they're not, they had a lot of devastation. He said, they're just not there. And he was talking about what some people would call a village. I mean, here we call them towns, but, you know, they're maybe 300 people or something, a settlement town or whatever, and they just, they totally were washed away. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff that goes on, and you don't hear about it. So it's, anyway, at any rate, I just was, and of course, that's, right now is about the time that, you know, the FDA is recalling all this food, and there's a total move on out there to control this. And there's also a major, the other thing I should say is, and I think we're seeing it, there is a major kickback or pushback against it. People are going, oh, no, you know, that's not, I mean, right now there's more people owning, what do you want to call it, means of food production in their, on their homesteads or their backyard than any time, you know, in the last 30, 40 years. I mean, it's amazing how many people are getting involved, just sheer volume. So you try to order, for example, baby chicks or something like that, there's a waiting list. I mean, used to be you called up, they were like, yeah, we'll ship them next week, you know, or whatever.
Or tomorrow.
Call up. Yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah, as soon as a hatch date, we'll get them on the way. But now it's suddenly, it's like, well, we're 4 months out. We're 6 months out, you know. So, I mean, the last batch that I got was a three-month wait. So, and they weren't anything special. I just ended up taking what I could get, you know. So it's, we're seeing things like that go on, and that's demand. They haven't stopped their production. That's demand, you know, I mean, as far as what's going on. So, and I think that's just God, you know, waking people up and putting them in to get going on this stuff. So we've got more people raising food in different ways, and that's all in a, you know, what do you want to call it, a detour around all this other stuff. And there's resistance, and I see things being gained all over the country that are just interesting. It's like, so while they're over there doing that, kind of back to that feast and famine thought I was having again, you know, God's ways feast, their ways famine. They're over there pushing the famine, pushing the skinny child, but God's out there motivating, stirring up his people to make a way for them.
Tim, we got a caller on the line. We're going to go to the phone lines real quick. Hello, caller.
Yes, Warren calling. You were talking about witchcraft. I just want to put in a prayer request. I want to pray for the cats around. We've had several cats through the years disappear in October. I was at the gas station yesterday. I saw a picture of two cats in the window. I don't know about the other place, but we got a lot of witches in our area, and they'll take these cats and torture them and, you know, sacrifice them, and especially a big cat like a Maine Coon cat. So I'm praying that God keep the cats safe.
Well, thanks, Warren. I appreciate the call.
Okay, God bless you.
God bless. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, I just think that we're seeing all that go on. That's, you know, I mean, that was basically my, and I also think we're seeing the dissemination of people from these big cities. I mean, I think that I can't get over the amount of traffic and the amount of people coming into this area from different parts of the state, and most of them are from bigger cities. Now, that could be a really good thing, or could be a kind of bad.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of the same stuff, you know, pretty much everywhere. You talk about people that are, you know, the people that are raising chickens in their backyard that have, you know, a handful of chickens. That chicken deal has just gone viral and gone crazy. It's, you know, everywhere you look, there's, you know, chicken houses, and people are selling eggs and trading chickens and trading this chicken for that chicken. And people talking about their chickens, and they got this breed of chicken, they got that breed of chicken. It's kind of funny. I got a daughter that's just, you know, that's full speed ahead in that group. And oh my, she's having fun, and she's always trying to tell me about this breed of chicken and that breed of chicken. And, you know, she wants to get one of these and one of those and this and that. And it's like, okay, I mean, it's kind of funny. And, you know, she got this one the other day, and she got this rooster, and it's a hawk deterrent rooster that we've actually lost three chickens in the last couple weeks to hawks. And they've been out there trying to get them. And, you know, that's interesting. I mean, it's like, one of the other things that's interesting is it's like these federally protected birds. So I called up the local game warden, and I'm like, okay, so what do you guys do about hawks? Well, we can't do anything about hawks because they're federally protected. I'm like, you can't do anything about it. You can't, you know, it was kind of funny because I was trying to get a rise out of him. So I had him on speakerphone and was talking with him. And I said, well, you guys can't do anything about these hawks. You guys can't. And I said, okay, all right. And I turned to my son who was standing there, and I'm like, all right, well, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. And he said, well, what'd they say? And I said, well, we just got to shoot them. And you should have. They got all flustered about that and everything like that. Oh, no, wait, you can't do that. I did it for the startle effect more than anything. And
shock
it's like, it's really simple. It's like, you know, you got something that's killing your livestock, you got to protect your livestock. I mean, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Well, and it becomes so readily apparent to anyone who happens to watch and who's been up against that before. It's like the predators protect the predators. You know, it's like you guys only are interested in that kind of stuff. I don't know how this exactly crosses over, but it does to me. And that was the fact that I've been watching some of these SCOTUS cases on, the short-barreled rifle and some of that. And there's been some really interesting decisions made there, but one of the things that the Alphabet Soup Gang was talking about was the fact that, well, you know, that's going to shut off our tax monies off of that, you know, and you can't do that. You can't shut that down, you know, and it's like, yep, they don't really care about any of the rest of it. It's all about power and money, you know, and that's kind of what it comes down to. And it's the same way with that. I mean, they don't care. I mean, at least around here, it's pretty much like if those kind of critters are pestering your livestock, why, you can do whatever, whenever to protect your livestock as long as they're killing, you know, or attacking your livestock. But it's kind of a gray area. They don't really want to put their name on that.
No, they don't.
So, yeah,
it's like with
but I think that also brings
the wolves are the big coyotes that are attacking and stuff. I mean, and you know, I've talked to the game wardens up in Wyoming, and they'll sit there. Well, we don't have any wolves around here, and I'm like, well, then you got some awful big coyotes. Oh yeah, well, they'll call them big coyotes, but they're, you know, and it's obvious that they're just, you know, given a script, you know, on what they're allowed to say and what they're not allowed to say.
Yes. Yes. It is strange, very, very odd. I mean, it's kind of like takes you back to a lot of those kind of things. You can see those guys really backpedaling, we don't want to go there, you know. So we had the same problem here with, we've had that issue here with mountain lions. I mean, you know, they now, of course, they're saying, well, actually, yeah, they brought them in and introduced them again, and you know, and it's like, why would anybody want those around here? You know, the reason they're not here, there was a reason for that. It's protects your children and everything else. And I don't know, I was always taught that, you know, you didn't let a rattlesnake live if one crossed your path, because the person that he killed or hurt, that was kind of on your head if you let him go, you know. And I think that's pretty much a biblical perspective myself, you know. So it's like the Bible says, if you have a bull that pushes, you're supposed to put him down. Well, you know, if you don't, then you're responsible for whoever he hurts. So there's a lot of those kind of things that go on that take us back to our roots and to why it's important. And it's all about individual responsibility. So, you know, I think that's where we go back to.
Yeah, my grandfather, he on my mom's side, he retired from Fish and Wildlife, and he was involved with that in game surveys, and he was a wildlife biologist, and that's what he went to school for, and that's what he did for the government for a long time. And I remember talking with him, and there was all these people that were trying to, you know, reintroduce the wolves and reintroduce the grizzlies and do this and do that and everything. And, you know, he's like, our forefathers worked really hard on getting rid of them. And, you know, there's a reason that they got rid of them.
Yeah.
He's like, they weren't stupid. He's like, it's, you know, they caused a lot of havoc. There's a reason they wanted him dead. And, you know, that's always stuck with me. It's like you see these people that are working so hard on it, and they think it's such a great thing. And, you know, they're not the ones that have got the, you know, that are out there with their, you know, calves getting eaten, or, you know, their sheep herd getting destroyed, you know, overnight because of, you know, some of these predator animals.
Yes, yes. And the thought that they just eat what they need is not true either. I mean, anybody who's ever went out, seen what a weasel does to a chicken pen, or what a, you know, a group of coyotes will do to your nursery for your cows or anything else, they're it's just mayhem and destruction. I mean, it's they and you're back to like versus like. I mean, when you see those predators and you see that stuff go on, then you have to ask yourself, well, Pastor did a message years ago. It was called Who's Who in the Bible Zoo, and I always thought that was very apt. I mean, the Bible gives us these types, and they bring them all back to lions and wolves and, you know, different types of animals or creations as far as how they fit into his kingdom or how they don't fit into his kingdom. And it's like, okay, that's interesting. And you never really get rid of all of that kind of stuff. We can't, anyways. I mean, there's always some of it around. I mean, it makes me laugh to talk about, well, the wolves are just all but extinct, you know. Well, then where did these come from that you're all introducing? You know, I mean, it's like, so.
I had a friend of mine that, an acquaintance that I met, and this was years ago, but they've talked about they were raising sheep. And how one of these wolves came in there one night, and, you know, it killed, I think it was 41 or 42 sheep in one night. And, you know, they said it was killing for fun. That's what it liked to do. And it wasn't that they intended to eat them or anything like that. They went in, they killed them for just pure joy. And I think, I mean, and, you know, that's something that we've got to understand. You know, wolves eat sheep. But sometimes they just kill them just because they enjoy killing them.
Yeah, just because they can. Yeah, a practice for something, or I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know. Yeah, you wouldn't do that, you know. If you wanted to eat a sheep, that's just. And the other thing I think my father-in-law said one time, they're not their sheep.
Right. You know? Right.
So. You don't get to do the things that you want to do with them if they're not your sheep or if they're not your cows. So it's like, and you know, there's a lot of truth in that when you think about it. You know, it's like when you're the shepherd or you're the cattleman or whatever, well, then it's your call. But otherwise, it's not your call. So.
Yeah, Paul, what's the deal with the wolves up there? Are they in Michigan? Did they get them under control, or are they still having problems with them?
Well, that's a problem, yeah.
It is? Okay.
Particularly in the UP.
Interesting.
No, I think the UP, the deer hounds just about shot up there, not just from the weather and everything. It's just a... But, yeah, the wolves and the bear are eating the fawns, too. So seems like bear are just escalating dramatically. There's a picture on YouTube of a bear in Leesick, which is about an hour and a half from me north, and you've got five cubs. And there's a grizzly in the Yellowstone area that had five cubs. Now, that's exponentially reproductive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I don't really know what normal is, but I think one or two, right? I mean, five is.
Yeah, two's common.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're going to see a problem with wolves in Wyoming as well, like was mentioned earlier. Jason, I think you said it. Yeah, the game wardens won't tell you, oh, yeah, there's a pack running here. We've monitored them up here in the mountains. But you look at the other side, you're having reports of pets disappearing. They gave out a whole lot less antelope tags. They allowed a whole lot less antelope hunting, not just in our area, but in several areas bordering Colorado where they have reintroduced the wolf. And so, yeah, you're seeing these problems that are coming up. Paul, like you said, the deer hunting almost shut down. And I've talked to a couple neighbors that hunt up in the, like, Hog Park and places right on the Colorado border, and they've said the same thing. The deer aren't there. The elk have gone somewhere else. And so, you know, again, it doesn't just happen overnight, but you bring those wolves in and you give them a couple years and they're reproducing and they're moving around and all that. And then you have a real problem. And we're on the brink of that here in Wyoming. We are. It's going to be a problem coming up. And it's really like that all over. Anywhere these type of predators are protected, you know, when the wolf is protected more than the sheep, and that's symbolic, of course, then that's a problem. It's a problem for the sheep, you know. It's fine for the wolf or those that want to believe the wolf over the sheep.
Well, you stop and think about it. Everything in Washington, D.C. is basically a wolf, how to extract money from the people. They could care less about us. You know, on that article you had on there where they bought up a whole bunch of Trump's assets or stocks and stuff just before that assassination attempt by that Blackwater that were all involved in it. And then they said it didn't happen. And they said, oh, that was a mistake. But they had plans to make big money off that catastrophe. And this is, you know, you read that book that you gave me too, you know, Everything They Told Is a Lie. They had a very large meeting the night before they shot Kennedy. And, you know, and it's so obvious he was shot from the front, and they said that Oswald was behind him. I mean, it's so obvious they can't hide it no more. But they're showing FEMA and all this crap going on with this hurricane. They're showing their real colors, that the people that think this government is their God is failing them. They can't produce. You know, you go down in those back streets of the Carolinas, not just there, Georgia, and everywhere, all the catastrophes are. They can't help you. You know, they're not supposed to. You know, you're supposed to take care of ourselves. You know, I've read about, you know, hurricanes that came into the Louisiana and stuff years ago, and there was nobody to help them. They had to do it themselves.
Yeah, think of the blessings and the surety that's gained by, you know, the empowerment and the blessings that are gained by those people that are going in and doing that. I mean, that are contributing their time and their efforts and everything else. That is, from the standpoint of, you know, the Wall Street guys, that's dividends you can't buy, you know, or they can't figure out how to tie into that, how to key into that, you know, because they can't quantify it in dollars and cents. So, you know, but God's that great scorekeeper, great accountant. He quantifies it in things that are priceless and endure forever. I mean, isn't that something? I mean, what a blessing. What an opportunity.
Well, it's just in our blood, you know. This whole Babylonian system has overtaken us, and we, you know, I think we've all played with it to some degree. But it's going down, and seeing it like these people pulling together down there—that's just a wonderful thing. I mean, the catastrophe is a catastrophe, and you wouldn't wish it on anybody. But when you see people pull together, I see on YouTube the other day a truck rolled over, and they were out there getting this lady out and was upside down and pulling her out the window, and they just idolized him like he was a stain or something, but that's just in our nature. If we aren't all messed up, you know, we're getting pretty cold as a nation. You know, because of lawlessness, we grow cold, you know, we become indifferent and apathetic and everything like that. And I can't say that hasn't been, you know, in my thoughts at sometimes too, but we got to get over it. When the thing arises, you have to go. And we were made that way. I mean, look at the battle that David went in. They didn't give him no food, and he went on, he come back and got even with him. But, I mean, that's just in our nature to drive, get that job done at our own expense. You take them helicopters, they did it at their own expense. And it's just in us. And we got to start doing more of that. It's a good thing that's happened. There's always good that comes out of something bad, I guess.
Absolutely. And we certainly don't mean that situation over there is a good thing. I mean, or as far as that, you know, but good things come out of it. And God just, I'm in awe. I mean, even if you're not able to participate in it or you're not over there participating, you still are in awe. So that's a benefit to those who can't. Just that, wow. You know, give God the glory and the honor. And you know what you can do to participate is pray for those people. Pray for the people that are helping them. You know, and that's a priceless participation that is absolutely necessary, and you know, will bless them.
Well, this is a secondhand story, but this friend of mine knows a lady, and her son is down there putting up wires. You know, in lineman, he's down there, and he called his mother and said, "You got to pray for these people. They have absolutely nothing." You know, like I said, Asheville gets the attention, but you know that you just stop and think about how big that was. It was way more than just that, and I don't know why. You know, that is number one, but I guess the wolves are protecting the wolf or something.
Well, and I heard some rumors that they were talking, the local sheriffs and stuff were talking about arresting anybody, particularly from the Fed level, who was, you know, causing problems down there and trying to, in short circuit, help and welfare and care. It was like one of the things I heard was, and, you know, like you say, some of this is just secondhand, so I don't know. But it also, given previous experiences, it wouldn't surprise me at all. Was the fact that, well, you know, these donations that people are sending, we don't know if they're good. We don't know, you know, as far as a lot of the federal relief agencies. So, you know, you can't hand that out because it's not certified or because it's not approved. And it's like, so that's not better than nothing? I mean, you know, if you don't have anything to drink and somebody gives you a cup of water, you know, are you how worried about it are you going to be? I mean, especially if they were if their heart is, you know, if their intent's good. I mean, it's like, okay. So I think that's just some more of that sour grapes kind of thing, you know. So,
well, if the truth be known, the federal government operates by privilege in a state. The sheriff is the highest born of the county. And he, you know, you got a policeman, he carries out the policy of the corporation, the state police, the city police, and all that. But the sheriff is supposed to carry out the law. And, you know, we have a tendency to go back to our basics and do what we're supposed to do, especially under emergency like that. You tell the feds to go back to Washington, and we're going to get this done. And that's a really good sign of the people that are getting fed up with this crap, because they have nothing to offer. They can take from somebody else.
Yeah, and basically, I'm seeing a lot of that in Florida with this hurricane cleanup. I've known people that took off from Colorado to head to Florida that are working down on jobs down there, cleaning stuff up. And you know, the governor basically he's wanting to get things cleaned up and taken care of. And he told the landfills, you know, you're going to be open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're everybody's on board with, you know, getting stuff taken care of, getting everything back to normal. If the feds, they can pound sand. And they're fed up with them. So
about time.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen that with, you know, the different, you know, fires and floods and different things that we've had through here. It's like, you know, you get the you get the federal government involved with it, or FEMA, or, you know, any of these alphabet soup guys. And, you know, they're the ones that are going around collecting all the money, and they want the money, they want the donations, but they sure not really willing to help the people, that's for sure.
Don't give any money to anybody that you don't know where it's going. You know, send it to these funds and stuff. You know they're scalpers. They might have started with good intentions. They don't end up there. Because once you give a guy some money, you can see how he handles it. They'll tell you who he is.
Right.
And, you know, these bureaucracies, you know, right to life, all that, it's all top heavy. It's just playing on people's, you know, feelings. And so they get some money, they think they did something, you know, but you don't know where it went or how it went.
Well, and
well, it kind of reminds me of, go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, and I'm just continued to, you know, and I've been thinking about it. It's loving your neighbors yourself. You know, I mean, it's, you know, commandment that we have. And, you know, it's like sometimes you sit back and it's like, you know, that's something, that's a commandment that's given to us. And, you know, when you love your neighbors yourself, I mean, when they're going through some of these hard times and when they're suffering, you're, you know, you're feeling it as well and you're wanting to help. You know, and they take advantage of a bad situation, you know, something that, you know, a catastrophe, and they use it for, you know, personal gain. It's wrong. You know, and, you know, we're a compassionate people. I don't, you know, it's, you know, they're not my neighbors, like next door neighbors, but they, you know, these are a lot of our kinsmen people, you know, and we are to have, you know, a love and compassion for them and to, you know, try to help them.
Amen. Well, and I think one of the things that makes me, I don't know, it's not laugh, but it's just shake my head, you know, to myself, was they were out there supposedly, I don't know whether it was, I don't know what particular government agency it was, but they were handing out $750 debit cards.
Oh boy.
In North Carolina, in some of those areas. Well, think about that for just a minute. Let's see. All the infrastructure's down. The banks are all closed. There's no scanners or readers. that's pretty much like a, you know, tinkling bell or a crashing cymbal, isn't it? I mean, what good is that? I mean, how do you access it? How do you use it? How do you, what? But it sounds to some people, I'm sure it sounds like something good on the outside, you know, but that's the kind of things, it's an empty promise, you know, I mean, it's what it amounts to.
It is, and it shows you how far out of touch and out of reality the federal government, FEMA, the leadership in Washington, you know, how, dare I say stupid, how stupid they really are. Because, see, now they'll come back and report that we've helped these people. We've done this. We've spent $48 billion in recovery efforts and all that stuff. But when it comes down to it, what have they done? You know, oh, they collected the money. They, $750 debit card, what are you going to do with it? You know, when you don't have running water, when you don't have electricity, when the bank not only is closed, but it was washed down the river, you know, like the other half of the town. And you know, it's not just recovery right now, but so many of those towns, you know, we're in the fall of the year. So many of those towns rely on the leaf changing colors and the tourism of people that come in and drive by and stop in those quaint little towns. And, you know, for leaf watching, that's a huge economy in that area. Not this year. and to try to rebuild, it's like was said earlier, it's towns that are gone, that are gone. They're down at the bottom of the creek bed or whatever. And it's a mess, but it is encouraging that, you know, Brother Paul, you've mentioned it all the time that, you know, it's in adversity and trials that we grow closer to God. It's not really in times of prosperity, but it's when it hits the fan. And that's when we do get the opportunity to love our neighbor, to help our neighbor, and to be thankful for. I've talked to several people. I know it's kind of cold, but it's like, man, I'm glad my house didn't get wiped out, kind of a thing. But because my neighbors did, I'm going to help out. And we're seeing that all over the country, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I come up with a new line here just the other day. I don't know if it's original or not, but poverty makes better people than wealth.
Yeah. Well, I heard a statement one time, and you can take it for what it's worth, but it was like, if you want to know what God thinks of money, look at who he gives it to, you know. So I think sometimes that, and I've actually told people that and had them think just the opposite of what you're thinking, Paul. It's like, okay. But it's a very interesting thing, and it doesn't mean that God's people are poor, because they're not, or that they have to be broke and destitute, but there's a real burden of handling it there, you know, I mean, of making sure that it's correctly used and correctly, I mean, you look at the stories in the Bible, some of those men that were in the kingdom were extremely well off, but they also had the heart of God, you know, and I think that, yeah, there's a yardstick there, a measuring stick, so...
Yeah, Tim, the same spirit was there. Go ahead, Paul.
There's nothing wrong with wealth as long as you do it. You know, there was a time in America when a tremendous wealth, that Mackinac Bridge up there between the two peninsulas, was built with private money and turned over to the state. I mean, people with money did things to help other people. First of all, they weren't taxed. What they got, they worked for, they got to keep, and just about all the towns had someone that contributed back to the town because they were grateful for where it came from, and it's an attitude of gratitude is what it really amounts to. And it's not God don't want us poverty, but he does that. He makes your money turn to dross, and that's where we're at today. Our money won't buy nothing. You know, I've seen a thing, too, where they've given the billions of dollars to Ukraine and Israel and all about seven, eight different places, all got billions of dollars, and they give the people in the hurricane track $750. Now, where is $750 to go if you can spend it? You know, it's an insult to injury is what it amounts to. They're spitting in our face. They're laughing at us. But God gets the last laugh.
Amen. And we are just about out of time. Closing thoughts.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For what you sow, you'll also reap. And that's what we're talking about today. We got some people out there sowing some good things. So, and there's some evil men that are going to reap some whirlwind.
That's right. It was that same spirit that we're talking about the loving your neighbor, helping out, whether it's your redneck next door neighbor that could afford to come over and help in the four wheeler, or the guy in 10 states over that's got a helicopter, or the 30 guys that had helicopters. Same spirit to help your neighbor.
Amen. Well, folks, thanks for being here. We appreciate it. Gentlemen, thank you. And Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll be back next week.
When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king. Paul Revere cried his alarms, and the people took up arms, and they fired up their guns in the greens of Lexington. Soon the battles would be won, and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew the strength and courage from his power upon high, and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king, but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Through the toil and the tears in the last 100 years, we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and the global overlords now surround his holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high.